There. All right. Hi, this is Eric Stromquist. Welcome to Control Talk Now for the week ending May 22nd, 2015. We are not in Kansas anymore, but smart buildings and smart people tend to follow us anywhere we go. I am joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Kenny Smyers from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and our MC, the man who makes the world turn around, Mark Petock. You recognize this face from the Control Trends Awards, or if you track smart buildings at all, you know Mark brings a lot to the table. So Mark, thanks for joining us today, buddy.
Glad to be here. Glad you guys joined us here at Haystack Connect 2015 in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Well, it's a beautiful place out here, and what can I say? So we came here 2 years ago to Haystack, and first of all, Mark, tell us a little bit about Haystack, how it got started, how it evolved, because this is the second conference. You got a lot more people here this year.
We do.
Right?
We've got roughly a little over almost 35% more people who are attending this year than when we had it a couple years ago. And with respect to Project Haystack, I've got some really good guests lined up that I'm going to actually have them tell us things about Project Haystack and things like that. And so wait till you see some of these guests.
So before we do that, you know, we had some posts last week on Control Trends, and I just want to know if you want to play a little game that we've never played on Control Trends before called Do You Want to Bash Your Competitors?
No, I'm not going to bash anyone.
So if you want to see the other things we had last week, Kenny and I were, we posted a lot of the videos from the CGNA Vendor Showcase, so go check those out. Featured this week were functional devices, Siemens with the thermostat. What else we have featured, Kenny?
Oh, we had a couple from... Okay, we're going to edit this point.
No, we're not editing anything, Kevin.
Okay, on Control Talk Now, we had smart buildings, we had Realcom, IBCon, we also had Sierra Monitor, and we also had a great post from Contemporary Controls regarding their interface to the Project Haystack through the Niagara Supervisor. So there was a lot of posts that caught me off guard there, but I'm all better.
Well, that's cool because, you know, we're not editing anything here. What you see is what you get. I'm not saying Kenny ate brownies earlier because he didn't, okay? But some of our guests might have. So we're going to roll with this. But I tell you what, Mark, in all seriousness, this is very, very exciting. This, to me, is a quantum leap in making things better for the owners, right? Because
it is. And, you know, we've all been in this business for a long time, and data has really risen to the top now and is really just as important as the integration, interoperability, and connectivity. And that's essentially what Project Haystack, Haystack Connect is all about, is data and really creating that true value chain with that data and to be able to deliver the types of results that building owners and people who need to look at data really want to gain.
Well, absolutely. So let's set the frame a little bit, Kenny. So it used to be if you had brand X or brand Y or whatever, you're an owner. It's very difficult to get that data in where it's common. And part of that is because you have to, there's not a common language, if you will,
correct.
Right?
Right. Well, I think when it all began, nobody had the vision of where we'd be at this point in time. 2015, with all the potential of the Internet of Things, has really changed everything. You know, we have smart data, smart devices, smart buildings, and now it has to become smart business. So it's a very important thing is to have, to get the language together, the tagging, the metadata, so that it's standard. It's a very difficult thing to do.
Well, why don't I tell you what? Go ahead.
I was going to say, it is, and I think, Kenny, you just hit on something. It's all about, we've heard big data, and that's fine, but truly, is it big data or is it smart data? Basically, data that I can really use in real time when I want to and get it to the different types of people sets that need data to do their jobs better.
Well, and I think one of the trends that Kenny and I have talked about is how competition is changing, right? You know, in other words, you have to collaborate sometimes with your competitors to do this, and I think Haystack is a great example of how competitors come together to create a better experience and take the industry forward, if you will. And Kenny used a very, very big word before, nobody had the vision, right?
Correct.
But our first guest had the vision, didn't he?
He had the vision back in 2011.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to join us for a conversation, Brian Frank, who is currently the president of Sky Foundry and is one of the original creators and curators of the Project Haystack standards and modeling techniques and the taxonomies that we're all here centered around. So our first guest, Brian, welcome to the show.
All right, Brian, yay! Okay, hey, Brian, man, thanks for taking a few minutes to talk with us. This is awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Sure. So Brian, so again, we've known each other for years and we've worked together. What was the reasoning behind starting Project Haystack?
Well, John Petsy and I started this company called Sky Foundry, and we wanted to do analytics of building automation data. And, of course, to do any sort of analytics, we had to know what all of the data meant. And I went off and asked John, you know, is there some standard naming conventions, or how do we figure out what all of this data meant? And really, we found that there was nothing out there. So we said, well, you know, we should create something, but it'd be a lot more effective. We would get lots of people to work on this problem together. It really takes a community to solve this problem. And that's kind of how the genesis started, and we created a website and started to get people to sign up and contribute and work with us.
Well, the growth has been enormous. I was on the website recently, and tell us a little bit about the website, how the videos now, the data, you have all the data, the conventions on the website now for people to refer to. So there's no reason why people can't come together and use those at starting point.
Yeah, I think one of the big decisions we made was, like, just how do we make this community work? And, you know, there's lots of different ways to do things with standards organizations, and we really decided the best way to approach this was as a big open source project. This is essentially what we're creating is intellectual property. And, you know, we said, well, let's create a forum and we can collaborate, kind of experience with other open source projects that we've had. And then basically that website also became like the way to publish all of this information and metadata about the models we were building. And it's kind of just a live, ever-evolving thing now.
Well, sure, has grown to be a major organization and effort. There's people from all over the world here. Tell us a little bit about the community, per se.
So it started as just a website, an open source community. We were working on tags, and more people started to get involved. And I think, around 3 years ago, we were like, well, we should do a show. We should get all these people together, to help foster the community. And that was the first Haystack Connect, which we had in Chattanooga 2 years ago. And that was a really cool show.
Yeah,
a great group of people that got together. And that kind of solidified the community. And then, you know, on the technical side, we continued to make a lot of advancements on the tagging model. We added protocols, file formats, too, for exchanging all of this data that we were tagging. And, of course, now we've got our second show here with even more people.
So, Brian, we talk a lot about tags and tagging with Project Haystack. For those viewers who may not know tags or tagging, what's your definition of a tag and tagging?
So when we talk about data, we've got all sorts of data. We've got data about our buildings, for instance, what is the square footage or what is its street address, and we have data about our assets. This is an air handler, this is a VAV, and then we've got lots of data about our points, mm-hmm. which is unit maybe. And so we want to describe all of these pieces of data, and the way that we do it in Project Haystack is with tags. And basically, the way I like to think about it is that every tag states some fact about something, mm-hmm. right? If I want to say what the street address of this building is, I would add some tags to that entity. And if I wanted to say this air handler has, you know, mechanical cooling, I would add mm-hmm. a tag to describe mm-hmm. that. And if I want to say this, you know, point is in degrees Fahrenheit, I would add tags about that. So when we model data, essentially what we're doing is we're just building up a library of facts mm-hmm. about these buildings, mm-hmm. equipment, and points.
And so one of the other value points in around tags is that if, as you mentioned, you have different pieces of equipment or different things that have data, and being able to identify and call and name the same information, whether it's an air handler or a VAV or whatever, that is giving everything consistency. And a kilowatt is known as a kilowatt, regardless of where it comes from, correct?
Correct. And I think the key thing we're trying to do is make data machine understandable. Mm-hmm. We're trying to take humans out of the loop. Because any sort of project that involves 100,000 points, if someone has to manually go through and describe what those 100,000 points are, you got a big chunk of labor, right?
Yeah, so Brian.
And a big viewership on the Control Trends community is users. So I'm a building owner. Why do I care about this?
Well, the reason you care about it is that, you know, if you want to run your building efficiently and well, you know, you've got to run your building with data.
Right.
You know, I think the last few decades were trying to solve the low-level control problems and just getting things to work, right? Now, if you want things to work well or more efficiently or with less operational cost, you got to take all that data that's in your building automation system and you got to analyze it and look at it.
Mm-hmm. So fair statement or not fair statement, you know, earlier I said that, you know, people have been getting data to communicate, but it was... It's very expensive before Haystack Connect.
Right.
So is it fair to say that one of the things Haystack Connect does, one of the benefits, is it drives the cost of getting this data where you can use it?
I would say that is the key point of Project Haystack.
So to all our users out there that might be watching, and even our systems integrators, if you have any influence, or if you're a consulting engineer over the consulting engineers and the people that are specifying your building, is it fair to say that they should ask to make sure it's Project Haystack compliant?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Brian, I have one final question. So what does the end game look like? If you have a magic wand and you strike it in the air and everything happens the way you perceive it to happen, what would we be looking at? A successful Project Haystack in the future, what would it look like? How would a building operate and function?
Well, I think it actually starts even at installation and commissioning time, that there's, if you look at the whole tool chain and how these systems go in, having the points and the data tagged appropriately just takes cost out of the whole process, from commissioning to all the way to running the building.
Right, and as a matter of fact, you are in jeopardy of extincting a very interesting type of integrator. I think it's called a link monkey, which is a term that is not meant in any sort of a derogatory sort of way, but essentially to do it before, the integrator had to manually connect these points together. And if it's Project Haystack compliant, that goes away. So the integrator's got to love it. The owner's got to love it.
Exactly.
And is there anything not to love about it, Brian?
Oh, it's fantastic.
There you go. Our guest, Brian Frank.
Thanks, from guys. Sky.
Here we go. Right. We found our next guest.
And he's from down under, right?
He is from originally down under, but he calls himself more of a Texan now than a down under guy.
So, Mark, tell us about our next guest. I understand he's a down under Texan.
Yeah, he's a down under Texan. Again, another person who's been in our industry for years. Anno Schulten, president of Connex Energy.
Oh. Hey, guys. Welcome. Yeah. How you doing?
Well, great. So tell us what Connex Energy does.
We describe ourselves as providing that last mile connection from smart energy and smart buildings. How do you connect a smart building to smart energy or smart energy to smart buildings? And we kind of do that last mile connection problem.
So is that include things like you guys are monitoring energy usage? So Mark's got a building and all of a sudden Kenny's got a better rate than me. We're able to switch over and take advantage of that. Is that part of
we kind of do the connecting piece. We don't actually do the software. So the guys who actually do the software, the applications, whether that's demand response, fault detection, diagnostics, energy efficiency, energy analytics, that stuff, we're a little agnostic to that, but what those guys all need is data. And so they need that connected to the building.
And I have a question that's been burning for about 6 months. Now, you had an incredible project in Texas that I believe that Connex really came up with a solution that was very, very important, meaningful, and kind of set a standard, a precedent of what can happen if we are successful with issues like Project Haystack and make an effort. Tell us a little bit about that project.
Yeah, actually, we had several interesting projects. I guess one of the most interesting ones that we did in Texas a while back was Methodist Hospitals. If you know them, down in Texas, large complex of hospitals, a lot of distributed hospitals. They had a particular challenge, and they wanted to be involved in the demand response market. And you know, the thing that you really do in demand response for a hospital is generators, right? Hospitals have nice big generators, lots of good standby energy, great to participate in a demand response program. The challenge that you typically have with generators in a hospital is, you know, you've got the generator and you've got all the automatic transfer switches.
Mm-hmm.
Hospitals are old, they're all over the place. How do you really interconnect all these pieces together so that when you get a signal from the ERCOT, in the case of Texas, how do I get a signal from ERCOT into the hospital, and in fact five hospital complexes, and be able to automatically switch generators on within minutes notice and then transfer all the switches in the same process. So we built the technology and the connectivity piece on that last mile between ERCOT's demand response program and Methodist hospitals, generators.
Well, you don't mind, I had another follow-on question. How close are we getting to a smart grid? Are we getting there? Are we making progress, or is it still an uphill climb?
Yes, I think we're doing, there's a lot of interesting work that's going on in a lot of different spaces, right? I mean, there's a lot of work, demand response, demand side management has been around for a while now. There's a lot of work going on in making it into open standards like OpenADR. There's a lot of new initiatives in things like distributed generation now. It's become a big thing. Solar has become huge. Wind power, if you've been out West Texas at the moment, almost all of West Texas is now wind generators. There's a lot of disparate, interesting initiatives that are going on that I think are slowly coming together. I think we're still missing, you know, connectivity pieces. How do we actually bring this as a solid solution to a customer and let him pick and choose as to what's best for him?
So Anna, Haystack Connect, what's the attraction to you and your business being here?
Yeah, so, you know, if you think about it, our business is how do I get building data into the utility or to the energy services customer. You know, the challenge we have here in the US is our buildings are old, they've been around for a while, systems have been around for a long time. So I have to go in there and collect data from the building. Mm-hmm. We've been collecting data as in, you know, 72 degrees and 200 kilowatts, you know, those sort of data figures for quite some time. I think what people are starting to realize now is, you know, I have five different Methodist hospitals, each put together by a different system integrator, each by a different company. Each
different systems.
Different systems, different technologies. Everyone calls the point something different. And the utilities and the ESCOs are really starting to recognize that the biggest challenge they've got is not pulling the data out of the building per se, but what do I call it? How do I standardize that? How do I identify it from one hospital to another hospital, or one REIT to another REIT? Because yeah, their portfolios are thousands of buildings.
Mm-hmm. So self-describing data would accelerate this so tremendously. Absolutely. And that's the big linkage point with the Haystack.
Yes.
So also with the fact that we're here at Haystack Connect 2015, I know Connex Energy is going to make an announcement about something new with respect to Project Haystack and Haystack Connect and stuff. Tell us a little bit about what that announcement is.
Yeah, we have a product we call Connection. Not very inventive name, but
and describe what Connection is.
We like it.
Describe what Connection is.
Effectively, Connection is the database of data that you pull out of a building, right? And it's based on Haystack. It's actually a Haystack server. It's based on the actual technology is based on a Cassandra big data database and MongoDB. If you're a little geeky and want to know about the tech, it's kind of fun. but it's a high tolerant, high reliable, high available database. We actually put the data out directly into a Haystack format, and that allows us to abstract out the data from all these different buildings, bring it into one database that's Haystack compliant, so that any Haystack compliant application can directly access the data.
Very, very cool.
And isn't there one other piece of Connection that I find kind of fascinating, where we know there are many energy applications out there today, and some buildings and some building owners use multiple ones, some use single, whatever. Tell us a little bit of how Connection affects or kind of brings that all together regardless of the energy application.
Yeah, and again, I mean, it's highly dependent on Haystack.
Right.
You know, I will tell you honestly, guys, I mean, Haystack was, it was the right idea at the right time for us. I mean, we managed to capitalize on it at the right moment. But, you know, it allows us to, whether the system's at BACnet or LON or proprietary technologies, we can bring that in, must add, securely, right? I mean, you know, one of the big deals about, in from a data perspective, when you talk to customers, they talk about security as it relates to data, they have two things that are highly critical to them, what they call data in flight and data at rest. So as the data's coming out of the building, making sure that who gets in and out is secured, and when the data is actually at rest, meaning it's in the database, how do you secure that so that no one else can have access to that? I would tell you one of the most interesting things that we see at the moment, and we're working with a large REIT in DC right now who's looking at using our Connection Haystack database. And one of the most fascinating things I found coming out of discussions with them is how they think that by us being able to take the data, make it Haystack compliant, which is obviously open source.
Right.
Any kid can go to the website. So one of the things they're looking at is, you know, how can we incentivize some of the younger engineers, younger software guys now, mm-hmm. to get involved with the data that's coming out of their buildings in a very easy way, right? Before they had to kind of learn BACnet or WAN, or, you know, and which is not hard, but it was a huge investment. And this is a much easier way. So they're actually looking at getting some of the, you know, younger kids, you know, the guys who go off to try to do Google and apps and stuff. If I've got a database, that's an open source.
Do you think the evolution might be a specified requirement that it has to be because we can't work backwards anymore. We can't stay stalled. We have to move forward.
Yeah,
Project Haystack is a major move forward that everybody benefits from.
Yeah, and
the collaboration continues to grow, so it's just a matter of time, probably.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that just triggered me when he says this about this opportunity in D.C. is getting those younger people. Remember the young guns?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And getting the young guns involved in the control trends community and in our industry. And this is just another opportunity to continue to make our industry exciting, to bring in that next generation, those younger folks that we all want to bring in.
It's you know, and that's what they see. This Haystack is a current technology. Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk about Cassandra's and MongoDB's, these are databases and technologies these young guys really, really understand. They eat this stuff up. Now I'm presenting them the data. They do all sorts of interesting stuff with them.
Now, one final question, and I know you're a shy guy, but rumor has it that you were the bass player for AC/DC?
Not even remotely possible.
But you are playing with the
I am, unfortunately, 100% tone deaf. It is the last thing that you want to do to hear me sing and or play a musical instrument.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Well, we appreciate the time, Anno. Thanks for being a guest.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
One last thing, Anno. How do our listeners out there find you? You got a website?
Yes. Just connexenergy.com, CONNEXX. Have to have two X's, energy.com.
Super. Anno, thanks so much.
Thanks so much, guys.
Appreciate it. Here we again at Haystack Connect 2015. And our next guest is Richard McElhaney from Airmaster from Australia. So, Richard, welcome to Haystack Connect 2015. We've known each other again for many years and have worked together. And so what really brings you to Haystack Connect 2015?
Well, look, there's a lot of things that bring me back here for the second time. As you know, we were in Chattanooga when we did it last time around. And, you know, there are a lot of things. Apart from the people, this is a great place to network and connect and see familiar faces and meet some new friends as well. So that's always a great thing. Also, this is a technology showcase, okay, where there's technology providers here selling to the system integrators, the guys who are going to be at the coalface, you know, installing all of the equipment and making the systems work. So this is really, you know, our strength. It's what we do. We're a technology company as well as the people who are out there installing it. So we see benefits both ways. We get sold to, and we like to sell ourselves at the same time. So there's great opportunities to see the new products, to meet the people, do the networking, and also see where the industry is going, because, you know, Project Haystack is really driving the new and emerging standards in this area. And so, you know, you need to be here to keep up to date with what's going on.
Speaking of standards, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, you know, that standards thing, I'd love to hear and love to talk about it, because for us, you know, that's where you put your chips. If you see a new standard emerging, and you see a community getting behind a standard, do you see it becoming an inevitability? It would have a global standard, and Haystack could be the
root. Look, I see Haystack reaching, you know, all around the world. You know, we're in Australia, and we're deploying it like crazy. We use it. You know, Airmaster has a subsidiary company, Bueno Systems, they're the data analytics people in Australia. They're the place you go, and they use Haystack every day of the week to drive it. Now, not only from the deployment perspective, but we're getting on the other side of the fence, talking to the property companies. You know, these are big, you know, by Australian standards, big. But, you know, these guys that own the 30, 40 story skyscrapers, and they're coming to us saying, we want data analytics. We want the benefit of all of this great stuff. But how do we do it? How do I, you know, if I've got, you know, my BMS from company A over here and from company B, how do I know I can get the data out? How do I talk to these systems? And, you know, Haystack enables that. So, you know, I know from our part of the world, it reaches everywhere. It's reaching down into products. It's reaching out into the customers. Our property companies are starting to specify it now. They want Haystack, you know, being delivered by their BMS contractors. Mm-hmm. Now, if they choose us, which we hope they do all the time, you know, that's great. But obviously there's a few other people in the market we have to compete with from time to time. So, you know, if we're trying to get everyone moving in that direction, because it's going to benefit the owners of these buildings at the end of the day.
So you've been a very big contributor to the community, the Haystack community, if you will. So what really was your motivating factor for being such a continued contributor?
Look, it's an opportunity to help out. This is an open source community. It's built on the people who contribute. You know, nothing would happen if we didn't all come to the events or get involved mm-hmm. in the conversations or mm-hmm. maybe from time to time write some software. So, you know, it's something that's an enabler, but it'll only enable, you know, the solutions of the future if people are mm-hmm. getting in there and helping out. And so, mm-hmm. you know, we saw that, you know, the there was a direction going on here, mm-hmm. and we don't mind jumping in early and trying to get on the bandwagon, mm-hmm. you know, and help drive that mm-hmm. all the way through. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things that you have to have a little bit of vision. Maybe you're taking a little bit of risk at the same mm-hmm. time, but you know we know there's good people involved in the community mm-hmm. that have been around a long time, and you know we saw that was the way we should be going forward.
So one of the things that I know you and I talked last night over a beer was. One of a related company to AirMaster is Conservant.
That's right. Yeah.
Again, based in Australia.
Yep.
And you are announcing something new here at Haystack.
Yeah, we're really excited. We're really excited. So just quickly, if we have the time, a little bit of background. Conservant is a Melbourne-based company, and they have a product called Plant Pro, uh-huh. which is a chiller plant optimization platform, it's getting some pretty big acceptance globally. What, you know, and AirMaster is their distributor in Australia, so mm-hmm. we take it to market. Mm-hmm. Now, what they've done is they've embedded Haystack into that product. Mm-hmm. One of the differentiating things about Plant Pro is that you don't need a guy to come to site and program up your chiller plant control. We've taken all that away, and we've said, you just answer our questions. You step through our wizards, and you configure the chiller plant. Now, that sounds like it's a really basic chiller plant control, but let me tell you, we do some pretty advanced stuff, sure. okay? So what we've done, or what Conservative done, and what we're promoting here, is the fact that as they're going through and they're building their system through the wizards, they're building Haystack into that. Mm-hmm. So by the time they finish configuring that, all they have to do is use whichever Haystack client they want, their favorite one, and there's going to be a whole bunch here today, just go and query our Plant Pro controller, and mm-hmm. it is already self-described. It's already got the Haystack data coming out, all the tagging is set up, all the connections, all the modeling is in there. So a contractor doesn't have to go back and do that twice, which is one of the things we have
sure,
talked about
exactly.
is this problem that we are addressing slowly in
right,
the community
right.
is doing this extra work tagging. It's going to cost someone some money, but what we've done is just made it part of the configuration process of the product. Mm-hmm. So from day one, you're a Haystack compliant device when you buy Plant Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're here today to announce and to show people that you know mm-hmm. this sort of stuff's working now. It's mm-hmm. real. You can push it down into your products. We hope other people do this kind of thing. You know, there's mm-hmm. plenty of configuration platforms and appliances out there that people are bringing to market. And we want to see other people do this as well, mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, it enables a whole other value chain to come about.
Now, do you have a demo at the showcase?
Yeah, we do. So we've got our booth here in the exhibit. We're booth E4, right next to some of our friends at Sky Foundry. And
you think maybe we could come by and get you to
please, yeah, come by and do a demonstration. I'd love to show you guys what it's all about. Yeah. And yeah.
Great. Hey, Richard, sort of shifting gears real quick, one
sure.
question. As you know, Kenny and I track trends in the U.S. and all over the world,
yep.
really. And one of the things that we've been tracking in the U.S., it seems like lighting control and building automation are two
yep.
separate sections and everything. Do you guys integrate lighting? And if so, is it the same spec or is it different?
I'd say we're exactly the same in Australia, and that's definitely a disappointment for me, because I believe if you bring these things together, you're going to get greater value.
That's
now we have done some projects in Australia where we've brought all of that together. We did some data center projects with DALI lighting and integrated that using Niagara and all of our standard mm-hmm. products that we're all familiar with, and so you know we integrated all of that together into the one system. But that would be the exception. And we had to convince the end client this was mm-hmm. the way to go. We had a great relationship with that client. They trusted us, luckily. And we managed to deliver for them. But that's definitely the exception, you know. Just like here, contracts are let, you know, have your mechanical contract and your electrical contract, and never the two shall meet.
It's amazing, because Eric and I have lived in Canada, England, Spain,
yep.
Australia, South Africa. We've seen around the globe the same problem.
Yeah.
Now we see a solution that could sincerely
Absolutely.
Address and solve
yep.
that protocol issue once and for all. So we think that the Alper here is too. He's always
yeah.
got some great stories to tell us about.
Yeah,
which are very, very interesting, and it's very dynamic. And
it is.
Like
it is.
The community is growing. It's becoming more formidable, and the impact is going to be felt around the world.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And you know, even here, it's not just mechanical applications or BMS. It's we've got some great lighting guys here, and it's great to see them pushing Haystack, pushing them the semantic modeling standards into their products, so that you know, when we do have a product like Plant Pro and another lighting product sit side by side, you know, we can come over the top of that with our favorite Haystack client, whether it's SkySpark or you know the FinStack or whatever it might be, and we can bring all that together into an integrated system. You know, they shouldn't be sitting separately; they should be sharing information. That's what it's all about here at Project Haystack: data and modeling that data.
It does, and you bring up a good point. It's not just the building automation systems or lighting systems or traditional. Building systems, if you will,
yep.
this whole new era of IoT
yep.
and Haystack standards and modeling and things like that can go to virtually any device that's out there.
That's
it really
right.
doesn't matter. And this year we are seeing more and more interest from the wider IoT type community.
And that's fantastic. That really is, it shows the trends in the market. And you know, being able to push that modeling down into those IoT devices is really going to leverage you know, the power of the data modeling that we've got and open up opportunities that we probably haven't even considered yet.
Sure.
But there's, you know, getting all these buildings, you know, wired up with sensors or wireless with sensors mm-hmm. or whichever way you want to go, and that they can generate data and we can figure out what that data is automatically mm-hmm. using Haystack and all the modeling standards, then that's really going to allow some cool applications to come about.
Yeah, and as we've said, data is where the value
it's
is.
Driving okay. our industry. It's driving
that
our industry.
Is the value. And the same with IoT. You know, it's not just about the connectivity. And I know I've said that during the course of this interview. It's there. It's some of the interoperability of the different devices and the value extraction that you're going to get from the data and
yep.
then utilizing that data to drive something, and whether human or machine-driven.
And the key word you just brought up there is interoperability. Yeah. Interoperability. And you know, this is something the industry's been struggling with for a long time. I mean, you know, we've got the LonMark standards and BACnet standards. And you know, look, it's great if you operate in those worlds, and I better be careful in case I offend someone out there. But, you know, it's a problem that everyone has struggled with. And mm-hmm. look, this is what we try to solve with Project Haystack. And, you know, I think we've made a great start. There's always lots of work to do. You know, what we've done in Project Haystack has been very centered around the BMS and the mechanical solutions. But that's not to say there isn't work going on. There's a lot of extensions to
exactly.
Haystack. Exactly. And the good thing about it is the way that the system works is you can extend it and use it in your own way
mm-hmm.
and still be compliant with how all of the Haystack technology works.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people shouldn't think that they're being locked in to profiles that somebody else has defined. They can, you know, without being proprietary, they can still extend and value add into their own
exactly.
Ecosystems. So.
Exactly.
Richard, thank you so much. How do our listeners get hold of you?
Well, they can come and contact me through our website, www.airmaster.com.au, through the Project Haystack Corporation. I'm on the board there with Mark and a few of the other guys that you're talking to. And I'm around here, so if anyone's you know at the event, please stop by. Come by the booth and love to talk more.
Mark, hey, thank you so much for setting this up, bringing these great guests on. We've got a lot of other great guests. I understand Alpert's here.
Alpert's here. We've got a lot of folks. Again, the community is a collaborative effort, and we really got a lot of the industry leaders who have really driven our industry to where it is today and where it's going in the future.
Okay, well, so with that, Kenny and I are going to be here all week. We're going to be interviewing people. We're going to be covering the events. It's a fantastic event. If you're not here, hey, the good news is you can make plans to be at the next event, which is probably every 2 years, I'm guessing, Marcus.
Every 2 years.
But with that, I want to thank Mark Petock, the MC. He is kind of the inspiration to the man, the myth, the legend, Kenny Smyers and myself.
Yes.
So with that, we will say have a great week, and remember, stay in control.
Indeed, Eric.
All right, we got to do this. Mark, I know you're new.
You know,
I know.
Okay,
I didn't know if you wanted me to do that.
15 seconds left.
All right.
Done.
So here we go. So remember, stay in control.
Indeed.
Indeed, Kenny Smyers.